I'm telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames.
What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's the day after the day after, everybody, and I've got a lot of great guests to help all of us continue to process together. It's Thursday, so my very most favorite guest co-host is with me. His name's Tom Paulswitz. He ran for Congress twice. He's had some tough elections himself. He's here to help. A little bit later on, I'm going to bring on Adam Green from Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money. Adam ain't no millionaire. He is the co-founder of the Progressive Change Campaign Committee. And they're a 1 million plus member grassroots organizing group that helps advocate when it comes to election access and voting rights. We're going to talk about the election outcome with him. Then at 3:30 today, I'm going to be joined by my colleague here at Civic Media, Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney. We're going to talk about what Trump's win may mean for the Department of Justice from a really big perspective. We're going to also talk about what Trump's win means for each of the criminal cases that are currently proceeding in courts. I mean, short version of that is, yeah, those cases are going away, but we'll dig into it in detail with Jim a little bit later today. So welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, everybody. Welcome, Tom Paulswitz. You want to join us? We want to hear from you today. I think we all need to hear from each other a good bit. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Phones and text line open. Welcome back, Tom. How has your last 36 hours been?
Yeah. You know, I think it's been going through my head, and there's a number of people who are trying to remain optimistic. And when I look at it, it's like, okay, it's good to be optimistic in life, but it's also good to be realistic. So, and Maggie, you might get a chuckle out of this. So I've decided to be angrily optimistic.
I like angrily optimistic. Because
there needs to be, right? There needs to be a level of anger. But, you know, my initial thoughts on the election were all jumbled, and it really crystallized earlier today for me that it really was America being, it was basically a mirror held up to America, and a majority of people liked what the mirror Trump held up. And we just have to acknowledge that, and we have to figure out what do we do next about it. Because I've read so much about its democratic messaging, its democratic door knocking, it's a whole bunch of other things, and it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with there are lots of people who are angry at their outcomes and feel like if we can somehow vilify the marginalized, it will make their lives better. And it clearly is not the case, but we're going to have a rough 4 years, and there's just no way around it.
It occurred to me just as we were coming onto the air, Tom, that my show back in the day when I first started to do this was called Dawn of the Resistance. Yes. And that's what I felt like this morning. Today I woke up and I thought resistance needs to be a daily commitment. While, you know, we have to take care of each other, folks, one of the things that I've done over the past day is continue to amass resources for all of you, and I'm going to be sharing a bunch of those today. I have been incredibly impressed by some of the new organizations and resources I've been able to uncover. We're going to go over 10 basic things to do, 10 ways to be prepared and grounded now that Donald Trump has won. So we're going to give you the help that we all need and want. We're going to talk through those things. I did read an incredibly interesting piece. I believe it was from one of the Bulwark authors that said Harris just got Dukakis'd, which is a mouthful. But what they were referring to was, as you'll remember, Tom, the Willie Horton ads that were run against Michael Dukakis, who had been leading George H.W. Bush by 17%, if you can imagine that, and ended up losing in an absolutely historic electoral vote blowout.
Yes.
And it's they talk about it as this watershed moment, right, in campaigning, in politics, because Dukakis and interviews subsequent to that election said very clearly, the decision to not respond to the Willie Horton ads was mine. And so if you weren't around back then, I can refresh your recollection. What, Tom, you remember the ad. Why don't you set it up for folks? Tell people what it was.
Oh, I think, you know, Willie Horton, if I remember correctly, was, well, you know, I don't remember. I just remember the impact that it had, because it was a lot like Reagan using the welfare queen idea.
Yes.
And it really played to our worst fears and our worst things that we think about in our country. And it worked. And I think the biggest thing there is, because it worked, people took on a different tone of what they should be doing in politics. It was no longer about policy anymore. It was about, you know, finding that emotional button to push. And the more negative you can make that emotion, the higher probability that that person was going to vote your way.
Here's how they described it in the Bulwark piece. Led by strategist Lee Atwater, the Bush campaign methodically and relentlessly found ways to suggest that Mike Dukakis, a technocratic liberal governor of Massachusetts, was a wild-eyed radical out of step with America. He was attacked for not being patriotic and defending those who refused to say the Pledge of Allegiance. He was skewered for being soft on defense, and he was pilloried for being soft on crime, a charge driven home by the now infamous Willie Horton ad, which basically showed a guy coming out, being released from prison, and then the ad presented information about the fact that he went out and reoffended. And it all then culminated in the presidential debate when Michael Dukakis was asked a question: if your wife was raped and murdered, would you support the death penalty for the person that did it? And he,
yes,
he said, I'm opposed to the death penalty. He stood firm. I think everybody knows that, but I'm also tough on violent crime. That's what he actually said. And the audience laughed in response to it. And they ran, and it was this 1-2 punch of the Willie Horton ad, right? And then this. And he did nothing in response to it, right? And ultimately, he said that was a key error. It was then in the very next campaign cycle where Bill Clinton actually, for the first time, set up a war room to deal with opposition research and attack ads and to get out responses. And you know, and we can talk a little bit about the money in this election cycle, Tom, but a single pro-Trump PAC spent $26 million on the, quote, dangerously liberal ad, which we've all seen. It's the one that went this way as San Francisco DA liberal Kamala Harris let killers go free. As California's AG, Kamala continued to put criminals first after a little girl was raped and buried alive. And it went on and on. Mm-hmm. According to NPR, this was the highest funded ad buy and placement by a pro-Trump PAC. So this was really the messaging standard bearer for the entire Trump campaign. And the response, again, the response from Harris, not particularly strong or pointed. And then the very next ad that got serious playtime was the one accusing Kamala Harris of supporting taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners, right? Like, that was the next one.
Right. That's where all the money was going.
Correct.
Right? For every single prisoner. Yes.
Yep. Insane. And her response was, I believe we should follow the law. Instead of saying, well, that's what Donald Trump's administration did too, right? Like, that this is legally required. Donald Trump did it. George W. Bush, like, this is legally required. And trying to make that point clear.
And this one, this is really hard, right? Because you can go back to these moments and think about, oh, if this would have been different. But I think, to me, the biggest message from this election, you look at Wisconsin, Trump and Tammy Baldwin won statewide.
Yep.
Right. And what's the difference between Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin? As far as policies, as far as what they want to have happen in this country, they are lockstep. And there is only one single difference between the two. And this played out in Wisconsin in the last gubernatorial or in the last Senate race with Ron Johnson and Mandela Barnes. Yeah, you know, as a country, we have to take a step back and really realize
there's some racism.
That, yes, there's not just a little bit. There's some.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people would like to pretend that we don't have it, but it's there and it's real. And, you know, as Democrats, we were talking about this the other day. We have to get out into rural America and start doing our job to help educate people on why it doesn't work and why it's wrong. But it's also trying to change that mindset. You know, it's not going to happen in 4 years. It's not going to happen in 8 years. It's not going to happen in a generation. But it doesn't mean we can't try. But I think the one thing I look at is we are almost a 50-50 country.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to think about what are the tipping points for the next elections, you know, and I'll caveat that with if we have an election. I'm at this point confident, but you and Jim Santel, I'm sure we'll talk about it if we're having an election.
Don't trigger the doom scrolling, Tom. Don't trigger the doom scrolling.
If there is an election in 2026, I'm sure there will be, but it'll be interesting based on what parameters that election is put in. But bigger picture, right? That's why I'm angrily optimistic. There's a lot of people who have the ability to fight, who will fight, who will do what they can, when they can, where they can, to push back. And I think there's a lot of people who will be surprised at what happens.
Yes.
You know, I talked to a couple business clients yesterday who are preparing for high tariffs, right? And they have to change their business model.
Yes.
They're like, we don't want to, but we know we have to.
Yep.
And they are fully prepared to pass along costs to their consumers because that's just what's going to have to happen.
Folks, that's Tom Paulswitz, two-time congressional candidate in the 5th Congressional District. He is our special guest co-host today here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Maybe I'll just start calling it the Dawn of the Resistance for present purposes. Right. It feels good to say it. This is the Dawn of the Resistance.
Bring it
back. We need to be doing that. Listen, I did want to take a little bit of sound from Kamala Harris's concession speech.
Yes.
Because there were some interesting analogies, parallels to Hillary Clinton's concession speech in 2016 that I wanted to highlight. We're going to come right back in just a few minutes. How much longer, Cardi, do we have?